I'd like to talk to you under the caption, Christian, you are salt and light. And I was just thinking about salt a while ago, and remember my childhood days, knowing that at least if a house doesn't have anything, it should have a little salt. Is that true? They had a secular song some years ago. They said, you borrow a little salt and you could not return it at all because everybody was bawling. Then I think about light. Every house should have some amount of light. Is that true? If it's even a home sweet home. If it's even a bottle torch, you know what that is? Or a torch? You know that what that is? Or a candle. Or a tinning lamp. Some kind of light. I read for you our scripture reading, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 to 16. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt of lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast and be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it on the bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, bless your word today to our hearts and make us be that salt and light in wherever we live, wherever we work. We ask your Spirit to guide your words now for Christ's sake. Jesus said, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Being salt and light is not optional. Jesus did not say you can be or you have the potential to be. He said you are. Amen. Everyone who has trusted Christ for salvation and is born again, he's the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if we eat too much salt, we can be in serious trouble, isn't that true? However, having it in moderation, it is so important for our survival. The value of salt, especially in the ancient world, cannot be underestimated. Roman soldiers received their wages in salt. The Greeks considered salt to be divine. The Mosaic law required that all offerings presented by the Israelites should contain salt. Leviticus 2:13. When Jesus told his disciples that they were the salt of the earth, as recorded in Matthew 5:13, they understood the metaphor. Do we understand it today? And while the universal importance of salt is not as readily apparent in our modern world, the mandate that Jesus gave to his first disciples is still relevant and applicable to his followers today. What are the characteristics of salt that caused the Lord to use it in this context? Theologians, Pastor Beckford and Pastor Brown, they have different things to say about that. Some think that its whiteness represents the purity of the justified believers. Others say that salt flavoring properties imply that Christians are to add divine flavor to the world. And we wouldn't want to negate that, isn't that so? And still others believe that Christians are to be a kind of rebuke and judgment, the way salt stings and opens and burns a wound. That is how the Christian should be. And I'm sure we are saying no to that. The Christian must not be that kind of salt, offensive salt. No, we must be palatable salt. We must not be coarse salt. Let me see the hands of those who know coarse salt. Oh, a few of us were born in a certain era. We must not be coarse salt, but refined salt. Another group asserts that as salt, Christians are to create a thirst for Christ. Salt, however, as another vital purpose, which is probably what the Lord had in mind. It stops decay. Amen? And when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," he meant that all of his disciples were to serve as preservatives, stopping the moral decay in our sin-infected world. Christians must be like that. Wherever you go, you must stop that corruption. Stop that corruption in Jamaica. Stop that corruption in your society. You must be the salt of the earth. Those first disciples would have been intimately familiar with the function of salt. Without refrigeration, the fish that they caught could quickly spoil and rot, unless they were packed in salt. Once salted, the fish could be safely stored and then used when needed. And we have a classic example with salt fish. We know about that, right? And once salted, the fish could be safely stored and then used when necessary. The spiritual health and strength of Christian is to counteract the corruption that is in the world. Christian as salt are to inhibit sin's power to destroy lives. This in turn creates opportunity for the gospel to be proclaimed and received. Those who grow up in the country also know, long before we have refrigerator, what we used to do with salt. You don't remember? Yes, the salt was, the meat was all sliced up, or some get some slice in it, and you put the salt in it, and then you will put it on the creng creng. Some of you just born, you don't know that. We have been given a wonderful privilege to be the salt of the earth as Christians. But Jesus gave us a warning. The second half of Matthew 5:13 states, "But if salt loses its taste, how would its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be what? Thrown and trodden on the foot of men." Jesus did not say that we can lose our salvation. He said that we can lose our saltiness. And I'm asking you this morning, are we losing our value, our saltiness as Christians? Are we? When salt is contaminated, it becomes corrosive and poisonous. Contaminated salt cannot be used for fertilizer on the field or in the field. So it has to be thrown on the road or on the ground. And if we allow disobedience, carelessness, and indifference to rule our lives, we have become contaminated salt and have lost our saltiness. What kind of witness do we bear at the workplace? What kind of witness do we bear in our community? Have we lost our flavor? And then the Bible speaks about light. Matthew 5:14. Jesus tells his disciples, "You are what? The light of the world." And that salt, the Christian is to counteract the power of sin. And as light, we are to illuminate or make visible. Our lives are to be an ongoing witness to the reality of Christ's presence in our lives. When we worship God with pure hearts, when we love others as ourselves, and when we do good without growing weary, we are lights shining in dark places. It is important, however, to know that it is not our light, but the reflection of the light of the world, Jesus. Christ himself, yes, he is that light. Are we reflecting Jesus in the way we live, in the way we relate to our fellow men? Do we make a difference at our workplaces? Do we make a difference in our homes? Do we make a difference in the community? And we, if we are salt and we are light, we must make a difference. Do we make a difference in Jamaica? We must make a difference if we are salt and light. Being the light of the world means that Christians should spread the light wherever they go. It means fighting darkness due to evil, sin, and corruption. And we have a whole lot of that to fight in Jamaica. Is that true? Often caused by ignorance, prejudice, and selfishness. The more we look on the face of Jesus like an impressionist painting, the more light we see, and the more we are transformed by it. The light, Jesus' light, must change us. We cannot have light and remain in darkness. It's a universal fact that where light is, darkness cannot remain. And so we must be different. We must be that light. We must be that salt. Jesus asks us to be that light. Jesus asks us to be that salt in your little corner, in your little world. Light, one of the purposes of light is to give direction. Did you know that? That's why we have the lighthouse. To give the ships and possibly the planes too, direction. And if the lighthouse should be shut down, you imagine the chaos that would cause. We wouldn't, the ships, they wouldn't know what direction to go. And you are that lighthouse. Amen. In a dark world of sin, to give direction to those who don't know their head from their feet. We have that tremendous responsibility. And that is what God calls us to do, to be a witness in the world. No wonder we have Revelation 14 with the three angels flying with the everlasting gospel. That's God's people. God's church, are you that true witness, that light? We are reminded that we should not just do external worship. It avails nothing with God It must be joined to internal sincerity. And Isaiah tells us the kind of fast that the Lord expects from us. He encourages listeners to do away with the yoke, the clenched fist, the wicked word, and to do it by sharing your bread with the hungry, clothing the man you see that is naked. When you do these things, then light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. Yes, you are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth, and we are responsible. God has given us a responsibility that we must be faithful to our charge, to what He asks us to be. Yes, you are light. Yes, you are salt. Yes, I am light. Yes, I am salt. You know, when we have a blackout, that's a dangerous thing. That's a very, very dangerous thing sometimes, because it breeds crime and violence sometimes. It gives wrong direction. You may be lost because of darkness, but the light has come. Amen? So you have no reason to be lost, because light is here. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden." All those who are in darkness, Jesus says, "Come." Are we willing to give our hearts to Jesus? Are we willing to give our lives to Him? Jesus is calling. He's calling us to be that light. He's calling us to be that salt. Not the salt that lost its favor. Its savior. Not the one that is good for nothing. Now, as Christians, if we are good for nothing, then that is very, very sad. Isn't that so? We must be that salt, that ingredient in that dark, corrupted, dangerous place. We must be that preservative. Jesus is calling us. And some people at their workplace, and nobody knows that they are Christians. You must be that light. When others are going in other ways that God doesn't want them to go, you must point them to righteousness. More so by the way you live. Salt and light. There are some lights that are flickering lights, always flickering and affecting your eyes. That's not the kind of light that God wants Christians to be. Christians must be constant light. There mustn't be a time when the Christian not shining. When you don't have any money, you must shine still. Amen. When people criticize you, when people ostracize you, when people say bad things about you, when they tear you down, you must still shine for Jesus. Shine when you wake up in the morning. Shine when you go to work. Shine in the midday. Shine in the afternoon. And more so when it gets dark, you must shine as you have never shone before. Yes, we are the light of the world. We are the salt that is still valuable. Jesus is coming again. He's coming back for a prepared people. A people that has been enlightened. And who has the responsibility, Elder Glodon, to enlighten these people? Who? You and me. It's our responsibility to share the light that we have. God is going to hold us responsible for the light that He has given us, for the knowledge about Him that He has given us, that we need to share with our brothers, with our sisters, with our family members. If you have just a little weeny, weeny bit of light, you must share it. Amen? Yes, you must share it. Don't keep it. The Bible speaks about a light being hidden under bushel. Note, that's one of the things that you can't do. We cannot do. You cannot hide light. In times of war, you know, a particular city or wherever, the lights must be turned off. Because if you have just a little speck of light, the enemy will know and destroy you. I'm saying that whatever little speck of light you have, you know, sometimes in the country, you don't have kerosene oil and or gasoline to strike up a fire. But maybe you have just a little piece of paper and just a little bit of bramble or wood. And if you keep on fanning it, it will catch up and become a big fire. And so if your light is going out and you still have a little light, Jesus, the power of Jesus, if you place that little light in His hands, He will fan it and you can become a great fire, a great light. What is left of your light today? What is left of your salt today? I'm asking this because we can't do anything within ourselves to revalue salt when salt loses its savor. But there's nothing that God cannot do. Jesus can revalue your salt to your saltiness today. He can rekindle your light if you submit your life to Him today. By our deeds, we are to influence the world for good. We can no more escape notice than the city that set on a mountain. And if we fail in good works, we're as useless and flavorless salt, or as a lamp whose light is concealed. By inviting us to be light, Jesus invites us to make Him present in the world. And just as the presence of salt and light cannot be hidden, and their absence will be noticed, the kindness of a good person cannot be denied. Amen? The good works of the open-handed shine forth as that people might praise the Father for the holiness they glimpse in His creatures. The call for Christians to be light and salt of the world means that our lives should impact the world in a positive way. Amen? Men and women, without a doubt, should know that we are followers of Jesus Christ. The song says, "Can the world see Jesus in me? Can the world see Jesus in you? Does your love to Him ring true? And your life and service too. Can the world see Jesus in me?" What are your answers to these questions this morning? Today, there may be those of us who are here. You're not afraid to stand for Jesus. You're not afraid to stand as the light and salt of the world. And you want to stand with me as light and salt for Jesus today.
Would you stand?